I'm after the sort of material that will convey the reality of soldiers' lives during the battle. So, the political department reports, he said, reflecting. We will have to see. 5 months later, when my translator, Dr. Lyuba Vinogradova, and I were finally allowed in to the Podolsk archive, these voluminous reports far exceeded all my hopes. On almost every night of the battle, from late August 1942 until the end of the year, the political department of the Stalingrad Front sent back to Moscow by air an unimaginably detailed account never usually found in war diaries. They were addressed to Alexander Shcherbakov, the chief commissar of the Red Army in Moscow. The daily report averaged between a dozen and 24 pages. There was no propaganda gloss of any sort, an astonishing rarity in the archipelago of Soviet archives. This was because Stalin was so concerned with the outcome of the battle that he wanted the absolute truth. These files were, in fact, exactly what I'd been looking for. I was extraordinarily lucky with my timing. Sadly, the half-open window is now almost completely closed. In 2001, not long after I finished researching the next book, Berlin, The Downfall, the Swedish historian Lennart Samuelsson rang to tell me that the FSB, the new identity for the KGB, had started to check archive registers to find out exactly which files had been examined by Western historians. A few months later, Catherine Merridale, another expert on recent Russian history, then working in Moscow on her next book, told me that she was not even allowed into Podolsk, and that information on foreign researchers had definitely been centralized. The fact that there were now computers to keep track of foreign researchers, but there was no money to computerize a single archive catalogue, said a great deal about the situation. Stalingrad, as the byword for Soviet heroism, is a particularly sensitive subject. This is especially true today when the Kremlin, and indeed almost all political camps, want to use Zhukov and the Red Army, untainted by Stalinism because it had been persecuted in the purges, as symbols of Russian unity and greatness. I soon learned, when interviewing veterans, to avoid becoming bogged down in a political argument with them. Any hint of criticism of Stalin, and even the most anti-Stalinist of them, would go into an all-round defensive position. Criticism of Stalin, the great war leader, seemed to undermine their sacrifice. Research in Germany was far more straightforward, but it provided unexpected surprises. At the Bundesarchiv, Militärarchiv, at Freiburg im Breisgau, I expected little more than statistics and a dry record of events from the surviving war diaries and files. These had been flown out before the airfields of Paulus's encircled Sixth Army were overrun by the Russians. But even the quartermaster's statistics, the ration returns, brought out a less well-known aspect of the battle, that of the large number of Soviet citizens serving in the Wehrmacht. Also in the Freiburg archives, I found an unexpected wealth of material on morale and conditions, whether reports from doctors, usually acute observers of human suffering, or from German military chaplains. There was also a thick file of transcripts from over 100 letters written to wives or parents in mid-January 1943 by soldiers who knew that this would be their last word home as the Red Army closed in on Pitomnik airfield. These letters were intercepted and seized on the orders of Goebbels because he wanted them to be used as the basis for a heroic account of German sacrifice, a project that was rapidly dropped. This material, which serves as an interesting indication of the different currents of emotion, the contrast between the modest and the bombastic is striking, has still been surprisingly little used by German historians, except perhaps to show that the letters quoted in that great bestseller of the 1950s, Last Letters from Stalingrad, were almost certainly fakes. In another section of the archive, I found the reports which officers and soldiers flown out of the Kessel, or encirclement, had been made to write. These men, usually two from each division, were mostly those selected for Hitler's Noah's Ark. His idea was that he could efface the disaster of Stalingrad by recreating a new Sixth Army with symbolic seeds from the old.